in the house of God, and certainly we appreciate you being here this morning. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Nehemiah just for a moment over there in the book of Nehemiah. If you find the place, you're able to stand. We'll look there in the book of Nehemiah, and as we look there in that chapter, we'll begin to look there with about verse number 9. All right, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, which is she means a governor, he's a governor. And Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept and whenever they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, go your way and eat the fat and drink sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, and neither be ye grieved. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. May you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while, an old sermon on when the day is holy. And let me tell you right now is that we live in a world that's too busy for God. They have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And let me say to you that if you will, please, is that as I look out across here, I believe that I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. It's like preaching to the choir that's here every time. And all of that business there. I hope that's the way that it is. You know, the average Baptist church, when you look out across there, the only reason I got anybody sitting in the pew, they ain't got nothing else to do. Anytime they got anything else to do, that's what they take care of, and then they slack off on the things of God. That's just a brash fact that in the day and hour we live in. And let me say to you that no wonder the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No wonder there's so much lying and cheating, conniving, committing adultery and fornication going on in Baptist. I mean, there were planes that were shutting down, people that were packing up inside the airport. You'll find out as that not only was there not any planes that were going, people couldn't get money out of their bank account. See what I'm telling you? How'd you like to go up to the bank window? How you doing? Yeah, I'd like to cash this check. Can't do it. Can't do it. Computer's down. Well, I'll tell you right now, that's the reason why I'm going to go ahead and catch a plane and move out of this country. Sorry, you can't leave today because the computers are down and we're all grounded. You better rethink some of your money habits and put a little bit in a sock somewhere else. At least you'll have a little bit of money when it comes time. And if you don't have any money, then you might as well throw the sock away. I got to say to you that, if you will, that in the days of Jeremiah, he'd been preaching about this was going to happen. And these are the things that are being fulfilled in the days of Nehemiah. And make no mistake about it, we're in a country that absolutely believes less about God than they did back then. What nation under God's been printed on our money, but what nation without God's ought to be printed on our money? And it's sad to say that in the day and hour that we're living in. I want to say to you that, if you will, that there's a few good things that are about this. He said, you know what you ought to do is that you ought to be able to rejoice and be glad because the day is holy. Now, don't lose your text there. We're going to be looking at it in a second. But I want you to back up, and in the next book that you'll come to is Ezra. And Ezra went in first, you know. And then they was some I don't know, 11 or 12, 13 or 14 years that Nehemiah came. After he returned, it was 14 years later that Nehemiah comes into the land. Ezra came in there to restore the law and to preach the word of the Lord and the law of Moses. And then Nehemiah comes along, and he's begged God after his fasted. And he was a cupbearer, by the way, for the king. And the cupbearer means simply this, is that Nehemiah would drink out of it first to make sure they wasn't going to poison the king. And so he was laying his life on the line. And he was burdened about his country, Israel, Judah, and the land of Judah. And the Bible said that after he fasted, after that he had prayed, that he finally approached the king. And he asked him, could he go and showed him the burden that he had for him. Now, I want to tell you something. Over in 2 Chronicles, turn quickly there. Do not lose your text in Nehemiah. And I want you to look, if you will, please. The Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 36, 2 Chronicles, if you will. And the Lord God of their fathers sent unto them messengers rising up betimes and sending them because he had compassion upon his people and on the dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and they despised his words, and they misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose up against his people until there was no remedy. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, the king of the Chaldeans in verse 17 slew their young men with a sword, and their houses and their sanctuary and all of that were destroyed. And then the Bible said that in verse 18, all the vessels of the house of God had been taken small and great and carried to Babylon. And then in verse 19, they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels. And then notice, if you will, please, and them that escaped and carried away to Babylon, they were servants until the reign of the king of Persia. Now here we go. We're be taken up. And he said, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she were desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he might make a proclamation throughout all the kingdom, and to put also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And who is there among you of all of his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Now that's the reason why that you'll find that Ezra's been allowed to go with a band of men, is that now 14 years later, here's Nehemiah, he's allowed to be able to go. And as a result of that, you're going to find out they come to a time and a place where building is stopped. Nehemiah's to build the wall, and make no mistake about it, it's not going to be without opposition. Anytime you try to live for God, there's going to be some opposition. Some of you sitting right here this morning, you know what it is to have opposition. When you had a baby, there's a little opposition went on. When it gets to where it's a toddler, there's more opposition go on. By the time it's a teenager, it's completely disastrous. And make no mistake about it, is that all the way, buddy, from here until the Lord comes again, or until they are laid to rest somewhere, there's opposition on every hand. The devil's after your mind, he's after your house, he's after your children, he's after your spouse, he's after everything that he can do to be able to mess you up and down the road of lying. I got to tell you something, is that years ago I began to learn what God wanted me to do, and I just began to feel sorry for everybody else that didn't. Make no mistake about it. If you're going to be in the majority, you're not going to be able to follow God. Everybody else may pat you on the back and say you what a good job and a good thing you're doing. I got to tell you right up front, buddy, it'll be a different story when we stand before the Lord. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, is that it was a blessing to hear that this governor by the name of Nehemiah was teaching people and preaching to people about the word of the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, it's just plain old down-to-earth Bible preaching. That's what we need. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you'll find is that it's not just what I think or how do you feel about it. It's what chapter, book, and verse, thus saith the Lord. In this lesson here that you're looking at, is that you'll find that we ought to be like Joshua. And we ought to talk about that you can choose who you want to serve, either the gods, the false gods on this side of the river or the other side of the river. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God and serve the Lord. And you're going to be in the minority if that happens to you. And I trust and happen that you'll be in good company, and no doubt it will be. In that, not only so do we need some plain, just ordinary Bible preaching. Do you know he said there in verse 8, he said they read in the book of God distinctly. You know what gets the average Baptist preacher in trouble? Not just reading the word of the Lord, but then telling people here's what it means. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson, they were distinct about it. They showed people their error. They declared to them the blessed word of the Lord. And I got to say to you that, if you will, that as a result of that, four times that it was mentioned over in chapter number 8, verse 9, 10, and 11, this is a day of holiness. This is a holy day, and we ought to rejoice and we ought to be glad in it. Now, I was thinking about that whenever you look into this lesson that's here, is that you're going to find out is that God said, I want you to prepare some portions for yourselves and for others that don't have any. And as a result of that, we want to be able to enjoy the word of the Lord and the work of God together, because this day is a holy day. Now, I want you to watch something whenever you read that. The Bible says in about verse number 10, then he said unto them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, and neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want to give you a few things real quickly about the joy of the Lord. And you don't have to turn there, but if you like, you could. But over in the book of Habakkuk, you're going to find out there's something more important than crop failures. I remember whenever I pastored over in Louisiana, is that, buddy, there was a group there that loved God, they loved the Bible, until it come time to get that crop in. And they forget all about God, the Bible, good, right. They wondered why their kids were all going to hell in a handbasket. And yet they just simply, I know where there's a group of hay haulers that, buddy, they're faithful unto the T till that hay comes in. It's just a wonder God must have not ever been a farmer, because he's having them to reap their crop in instead of going to the house of God. And some of them lose it anyway. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that in Habakkuk, the Bible said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, he said, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. That's pretty sad, isn't it? The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I got to tell you, dear friend, is that when crops have failed, y'all still praise God and thank God. That's what he said, and that's what he's talking about. In this Bible lesson, you'll find over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 6, he's talking about in Luke chapter number 6, and I want you to notice in about verse number 22. Now, when you look at it, look at yourself real closely. He said, blessed, verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you. You got anybody that hates you this morning? You know why? If you say, well, no, ain't nobody hates me. Well, you're on the wrong side then. Bible said, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man. Say, notice what he said, rejoice ye in that day. And leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I got to say to you, is that you're going to find out there ought to be a joy even in heaviness in heavy times. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 6 will tell you that. We ought to be joyful in the Lord because of the fact that we know him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, when it comes time to praising the name of the Lord, exalting the name of the Lord, it's a holy day that you and I are talking about and that we're involved in. And I want to say to you that, if you will, this is a healthy joy. The Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, don't turn there, chapter number 17, about verse number 22, is that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You ought to be happy in the Lord, in the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You've been kind of just dragging through life, you know, unhappy and depressed. Your life seems to be in a mess. Well, you just need to get following the Lord and exalting the Lord and magnifying the Lord, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I begin to look into this passage that's here, and you'll find out is that there's something that God told Israel to do, and we're not going to take time to read all the passages. You can read it when you get home. But the Bible said in verse 17, we'll look at that one passage, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths. Look at it. And they sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was a very great gladness. Now here's what happened when they came out of Israel. Excuse me, when Israel came out of Egypt. God told them, I mean, naturally, here they are freed from bondage. And by the way, do you know whenever you get to the promised land, there's no houses there for you? I mean, you just came out of bondage. And what they did were they were to cut down those long poles, and they were to build booths, and they were to sit under those booths, and they were to use that. And you know what it was? Temporary housing. Now, I want to say to you, it's not wrong to have a house. I live in one. I live in one myself. And as a result of it, I like it, buddy. When I go in there, you know what I'm thankful most of all about that house? Air conditioning in the summer and a nice heater and fireplace in the winter. I got to say to you, though, that every now and again is that God may want to do for you and I what He done for them. He might want to remind us where He brought us from and where we would have been had it not been for the grace of God. And they had not done this, and for 1,000 years in all the days of Joshua. Now here they are all of a sudden. They're about to make themselves glad by obeying the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord and the power of His might. And the Bible said they made these booths and they began to sit in them. And they began to take a memorial, if you please, and they begin to rejoice in the booths they had made. Like I said, nothing wrong with having a house to live in, but you're going to find out that every now and again, God wants to remind us where He brought us from and where it could have been had it not been for the grace of God. Now, in closing, that if you will, please, I want to say to you, is that why would we even mention goodly houses that they finally made? Well, I'll tell you why, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and you can turn there later. But let me tell you what happened was they got to where when they built goodly houses, they forgot all about God. They had all the comforts of home, plenty to eat and drink. Nobody was bothering them or threatening them. And boy, they had everything they ever wanted and everything physically they ever needed, and they had no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. We live in a world like that. We live in a world like that. I remember whenever I was growing up that I was thankful. While you turn to the book of Leviticus, if I've got it right, over there in the book of Leviticus in chapter number 23, there's a passage we want to look at as we get ready to close. But I remember whenever I was growing up, and I'm going to tell you something, and I've told you before, I always had plenty to eat. I never was hungry. It might have just been like, you know, not a variety. It might have been pinto beans and cornbread, but let me tell you, you can stay alive on it. And we were so poor, we couldn't even pay attention good. I think my daddy, he worked, he was either welding, a mechanic, and this and that, and he'd make, I don't know, $7-$8 an hour. And that was good top wages way back then. I can remember whenever I was working, I worked for 50 cents an hour at a service station. And then by the time that my wife and I got married, I was either mechanicing or welding or both, and I was making like $1.60 an hour. Now, you're not going to save a lot of money and get rich quick at $1.60 an hour. I can tell you right up front. You can move to Houston and go to work in Houston if you dared to go to Houston. You know, only people making money out of Houston back then was Dean Martin singing, "I'm going back to Houston. Houston. Houston." I'll sing it for you later. I don't have time right then at this given point in time. What a hellhole Houston is. And anybody that likes it, hey, I've lost friends, preacher friends. I say, how in the name of God could you end up in Houston? Well, I like Houston. You had your head examined lately? I don't like Houston. I don't like Tyler. I don't like any other city that's got traffic. Zoom, zoom, zoom. I don't like them. Somebody said, you know something about Austin? Boy, that's the queer capital of Texas. I don't care. I don't like them. Just because they're just swamped with traffic and so forth and all. I used to like going to the hill country over there and go hunting. Sometimes Brother Darrell, sometimes Brother Ron would go along. I used to like that right there. We've driven through with my trailer on the back, him driving my pickup. We've driven through people's yards and stuff like that, jumped the curbs and all that business, all that right there. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that's where we did. And he'd say, hang on, preacher. And I was thinking to myself, yeah. Oh, it didn't hurt nothing. No, I guess not. It's my truck, my trailer, your foot. In the book of Leviticus, as we get ready to close, and if you will, please, in chapter number 23, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and look at about verse number 42 in that passage there, if you will, please, in the book of Leviticus. Here's what he says. You shall dwell in booths 7 days, and all that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths. He said, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, but I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared that unto the children of Israel and to the feast of the Lord. Now I can tell you right now, is that every now and again God just wants to remind us where he brought us from, where we would have been, and where we could have been had it not been for the grace of God. Now I'm closer to where I'm going than where I came from. And some of you right now, you boys and girls, you're going to remember back when. You're going to remember that. I remember back whenever it didn't make any difference if it was a little old Southern Baptist church, they had a fireball cracker of a preacher. It didn't matter if it was a missionary Baptist church. Most of them, you know, they had a fire that cracker preacher somewhere up and down the road of life. At Independence, it didn't matter where you walked in, but they preached heaven real and hell hot. And now we've become all civilized. As a result of that, the Southern Baptist buddy, they've made the church more worldly. And as a result, they're trying to make the world more churchy. And then you'll find the missionary Baptists, they wanted to take the authority away from the pulpit and put it all, and they became a democratic bunch even in the Church of the Living God and tried to, you ain't got a vote on what God had to say. Thus saith the Lord, it's finished. It's just settled. That's it right there. I want to say, I had a fellow one time, he was an old deacon, and he's probably even dead now. And if he is, and I'm sorry for his family, but good riddance. And he used to try to get in an argument and dress me down. A preacher, I don't like some of the things going on here and some of the things you're doing. And I said, well, okay, fine, give me something. When he'd say, well, then I said, well, no, look, give it to me from the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's in the deacon's handbook. I said, that's why you should be wiping on that and get you a Bible to read. Amen. Didn't go over well. I got rid of that person pretty quick. No need me having to fuss and fight with them. Listen, if you don't believe God in the Bible, goodbye. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. I got to say to you in closing that, if you will, that God said, I wanted you to dwell in booths that you might know where I brought you from. And boy, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the soon coming again of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. And as our song director comes and as our musician, as we get ready to leave from this place, we're going to sing a verse of invitation.